superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to have players who give me joy.
Rodgers looks, rainbows, right side. He's got his man, Devontae Adams.
Herbert to Guyton, 70 yards.
Russell's going to lay it up over the top, Lockett makes the catch.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich, you guys are phenomenal.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King, Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson, MLB commissioner Rob Manfred. Coming up, Academy Award winning actor Matthew McConaughey. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of our show on the air. Yes, that's right. Matthew McConaughey is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. The Academy Award winner has appeared on this show many times. There's a book, Green Lights, is his new book that is out. We'll have a great chat with him. He's a fan. Despite growing up in Texas, we all know he's a diehard Texas Longhorn guy. He's an ambassador there, right? He's helping
cultural,
them, yeah, cultural ambassador there something or something like that. I know, but he's... He still grew up loving the Washington football team. So he must be very pleased about that as they just dismantled the Cowboys yesterday. And that was before Minister of Culture. That's what he's called. They dismantled the Cowboys. But that was before Andy Dalton nearly got dismantled by John Bostic. And we ended our hour last hour with our Overreaction Monday segment that the Cowboys are going to one and done. Mike McCarthy, and the NFL Network news desk just monitored Stephen Jones talking on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and I just got some quotes here. Stephen Jones says Ben DiNucci will get a lot of work this week while Dalton stays in the concussion protocol. They'll also take a look at other options around the league, including on their own staff, Garrett Gilbert. Who I think, if I'm not mistaken, was Leo DiCaprio in What's Eating Garrett Gilbert years ago?
No, that was Gilbert Grape.
I'm sorry.
Oh, was it?
Uh-huh.
Double G, two different
Wouldn't ones. That be fascinating if they turned to a quarterback named Garrett there?
Hope he can clap.
Regarding Cowboys' reaction to the hit that concussed Dalton, Stephen Jones says sometimes players don't see the hits. Obviously, Coach McCarthy had some things to say about that, and we'll move forward as we go. Andy has tremendous respect on this football team. I know we've got the right guy for the job, he says of McCarthy. These things just take time. I know our fans are frustrated. We certainly understand the criticism that's come our way, but we've got to go to work. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I understand there's going to be some frustration. Talked about how McCarthy has proven he can do it year in and year out.
Has he?
He thinks that they're going in the right direction. So anybody who thinks that they're going to one and done McCarthy right now, a 2-5 start, getting ready to potentially start James Madison's Ben DiNucci on Sunday Night Football in Philadelphia in a pretty damn big football game. If anybody thinks that McCarthy's seat's getting hot and they might even make a move now, forget it. It's not happening.
Ben DiNucci.
The Joneses also, they have this reputation, but they don't fire coaches.
They don't. No, they don't. If you remember, they really
Chan
do not.
Chan Gailey's the only one.
They really do not. They do give, that is their MO.
Well, except for, you know, the best coach we've had in the last 25, 30 years. Fired him.
Well, Jimmy.
After two Super Bowls.
No, I know that.
On way to four straight.
No, but I think in recent days, though, they have proven, you know, they stuck with Garrett a long time. And
I don't count recent days, Rich. I only count the good times.
And Wade Phillips. As you know, Wade, they
stuck with Wade
They
for
stuck
a while.
With Wade for a while, including even into the next season when they fired and turned to interim Jason Garrett. They do that. They sure do that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's talk some college football. We have not talked very much college football.
What a weekend. Full slate.
First things first, that kid Waddle, so special in Alabama, broke his ankle. That is a total bummer. Because he was, would you say, getting ready for second place in the Heisman votes? Because Trevor Lawrence is going to take that thing home.
I think
you
so.
You might as well put long hair on the Heisman Trophy, right?
I think so. I mean, he's second in the Heisman. He's going to be a top 20 pick, first wide receiver taken in the draft. Everything for this kid. Blitnikoff winner.
Broke his ankle. That is an absolute bummer.
Wasn't it on the opening kickoff?
Yeah. You can't replace a guy like Jalen Waddle, Saban said today, comparing it to losing Allen Iverson when scoring 30 points in a game. But the prognosis is good because Jalen Waddle had successful surgery that both Kenyon Drake and Derrick Henry had in Alabama. He was pointing that out. Probably 6 to 8 weeks before he can really start real rehab. So,
okay, that's
that.
About as good
that's
as
the update on.
That, yeah.
So it's Clemson, Alabama, right? Your Notre Dame Fighting Irish looking pretty damn good too.
Yeah, but Georgia Tech this week. Come on, we got to play like teams. It's like I'm.
Well, they're playing the ACC.
I know,
do they play Clemson?
Yes, I believe.
Stand by.
Because
I think it's
that'll
like the
be
second last, like at the end.
That'll be the time.
I think.
Oh yeah, they play actually next week.
Next week. Oh, I thought it was at the end of the season.
2 weeks.
There you go.
2 weeks on the 7th.
That'll be that. That'll be important there.
Oh, if they could beat them.
Oh, and then my Ohio State friends that were texting me.
Oh
my God, Nebraska. Nebraska's doing this. Nebraska's doing that. Our defense are this or that. The other. I'm like, please unsubscribe. Unsubscribe.
And mute.
We all know you're going to score before halftime and then after halftime and then look back and make sure that Nebraska leaves Columbus, ruining the day their parents hired a lawyer. That's what happened. Justin Fields is really freaking good.
Really good.
He is really, really good and will be a heck of a consolation prize for whoever does not get Trevor Lawrence at the top of the draft. A heck of a consolation prize. At what point, Chris, have we reached the point where we're wondering if Georgia knew what the hell they were doing? Have we reached that point?
Well, yet? it just makes you wonder what was going on there because Jake Fromm played so well that
this
kid had to transfer.
Please. Really? I know Fromm is.
They went to the national championship game.
I get it.
They were one play away from winning the title.
I've seen Jake Fromm play football. I'm seeing Justin Fields play football. And I'm maybe, again, Ryan Day is an outstanding offensive coach.
He really is a great coach.
Okay.
Yeah. And Dwayne Haskins drafted in the first round.
I know.
So
can I just read you a couple of these texts
with
some of my friends?
Sure. Looks like, by the way, that site that predicts the draft order, Jets now 41% to get the first pick. Jacksonville, 17%. So they're in the
because I am, you know, I'm getting to the point where I have to keep reminding everybody on my Ohio State friends who has turned out the greatest quarterback of all time, right? let me read you my favorite comment right here. I got to scroll through all of the complaining about how terrible Ohio State looked in the first half right here. Yeah, basically said, you know, Justin Fields, because they're talking about how I was upset how Justin Fields was playing, right? Mm-hmm. And I basically said Justin Fields needs to do essentially is continue on to the NFL, and all he's got to do is be a backup, and he'll be better than Haskins, but not nearly as good coming out of the gate as Kent Graham. Oh, I'm sorry, I forget about Tom Tupa. And then I'm just sending all of these GIFs of, because again, I'm sending a ton of GIFs these days, of Brady. All his rings. Oh, but wait, just wait, just wait. You know, because it's coming in December. And I'll say this about Joe Milton, the junior quarterback. I'm trying to pump the brakes a little bit. He is the first quarterback that Jim Harbaugh has started a season with and starting in a game to start a season with that he actually recruited out of high school. Everybody else, Jake Rudock. We can keep going on down the line here. Shea Patterson.
Yeah, other people's players.
Peters?
Mm-hmm.
Not like this kid. Not like this kid. Hey, the number of times that I always shoot you straight. On Saturday night, as they were taking out Minnesota, instead of having a couple of those untimely quarterback turnovers, they didn't have any. And that wound up being a blowout as opposed to a tight game that they could have lost on the road.
That was a blowout.
It was.
Your running back is fast, too.
There's a ton of them. There's a lot of talented, fast kids. I'm waiting to see how it all pans out. Wisconsin's quarterback tested positive for COVID, correct? Which means that's a 21-day sit-down if it's confirmed.
Yes, because that's the Big Ten policy.
Right, that's the Big Ten policy. Yeah. And then there's Penn State. Because, oh, by the way, Rutgers, too.
Big win.
Oh, stop. You can't even, don't even talk. No, you should turn your microphone off, Mr. New Jersey.
You were
like,
busting our chops.
Oh, suddenly you're going to own Rutgers. Hey,
yeah,
our
chops. I don't own Rutgers. They're the University of New Jersey.
Take your Piscataway and stick it where the sun don't shine.
We got pizza and Rutgers.
Please.
We're good.
Well, you got Shiano. Yeah, true. 7 turnovers they got out of Michigan State. 7.
Shiano can coach at college.
Oh, you just went nice high register.
Yeah, exactly.
Penn State, man. Indiana is one of those Big Ten teams that you proverbially don't want to face. Indiana's the higher register team in the Big Ten. Hey, I mean, hey, Indiana's got that good offense. You never know. I mean, hey, put some points up. You know, Tevin Coleman. Higher register.
Indiana's ranked this week.
Why not? And interestingly enough, Tom Allen, the head coach at Indiana, I think has had enough of the higher register with Indiana. Because in a game that they had won and then staring into the jaws of defeat because they gave up a big, huge bomb and then went for it, Penn State gets the ball deep in Indiana's own end and score a touchdown. Similar to what Todd Gurley did in Atlanta against Detroit, letting Detroit back in. Indiana's like, okay, we'll take the ball back when we didn't think we'd get it back again, down 8. We'll score. We'll go for 2. We'll force overtime. We'll score in overtime and then go for 2 in the win. Because as Tom Allen said afterwards, he was sick and tired of Indiana coming close.
I love it.
And then the 2-point conversion happens. And this is the, I have, as you know, been an advocate for instant replay forever, right?
You have.
I've never seen a more difficult instant replay in my entire life. In my entire life, I've never seen the moment where Indiana's quarterback, Michael Penix Jr.
Okay, thank you. Sounds like a NASCAR driver.
Michael Penix Jr. tries to score, and the ball touches the pylon.
Oof.
Ruled a touchdown on the field. After further review, it looked like the ball hit the ground before the pylon, and half of the ball is on the white out-of-bounds large stripe, while the tip of the ball is breaking the plane just before it hits the pylon. You cannot tell.
No, there were no good angles of that.
You cannot tell. I mean, actually, I disagree. The angle's perfect. You just can't tell if the ball has broken the plane before it's hit the ground or hit the pylon. If this was ruled on the field as no touchdown, I think they'd have had to stay with it.
I think you're right. Whatever it was they ruled on the field, they had to stay with.
Yeah.
I don't know what's more difficult, the ruling by the instant replay or the number of people who had a tweet loaded up and wondering whether it was appropriate to send about a guy named Penix extending in a game of inches.
Wow.
With a ball.
And the tip.
A lot of moments of my own thumb hovering over the tweet button.
How many did you delete?
Oh, I didn't delete. I just...
Or save the draft.
I just...
Discard?
It's a handful.
Rich, you're crossing the line right now.
A handful. No, I'm not breaking the plane here.
You're breaking the plane.
I'm not breaking the plane. The pylon touched by Penix in this moment.
Wow.
And I did text.
That's a good one.
I did text Fowler as he was doing the highlights during the game. I'm like, $5 if you say the word Penix extends the next time.
Did he do it?
He didn't respond. 48 hours later.
Oh, look at that.
But what a moment. The fact that this kid, Penix, was able to not have any other part of his body. He was literally levitating as he reached for the goal line.
Levitation,
wanting man. It. It's all about want to, need to have. And it comes from the coach. Comes from the coach. If you're thinking, what do you know? You're a Michigan guy. What do you know about Indiana? Well, I saw this incredible moment that Indiana football tweeted out of Tom Allen in the locker room afterwards. I love this. This is what football's about.
It's a special thing, guys. You guys, I told you, you guys are a special group.
I said, love you, Cody! Yeah!
Sports, man.
Oof. Goosebumps, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Like tingling.
That's what it's about. That's why they wanted to come back. And again, I see that. It's unfortunate. I see that. I said, I hope everybody there is healthy and they're all in a room and jumping on each other. But then I just think to myself, you know what? I just want to lose myself in sports these days. And that's the moment. That's it. That's what it's all about. Indiana is now 1-0. They're ranked. Penn State is 0-1. Getting ready for Ohio State next week. That's a huge game in the Big Ten. Huge. Huge game.
Whew. You'll be rooting for Penn State back then.
I'm rooting for a good game. Honestly, I'm totally honest with you. That's watching Ohio State and Penn State go at it. It's like when I watched the Mets and the Red Sox in the 86 World Series. I just was rooting for the entire thing to have this huge sinkhole and swallow everybody up. Truly. Truly. So I root for a good game. The Big Ten will be on full display for the country to see, and I'll check it all out.
Yeah, it's nice to have the full slate of college back. It's weird looking at the standings and see some teams have 5-6 games, others have 2 or 3, and now 1-0 on the Big Ten teams.
But I know that, and for me too, I am not going to take anything for granted.
Yeah,
I take nothing for granted because Michigan's taking on Michigan State next week, and I know they got crushed. But that you throw the records out right there, and then the following week, Michigan's going to have to handle Michael Penix there themselves. What? What did I say? I don't know what I said.
It's the perfect name for what's just the absurdity.
Don't forget the junior
of 2020.
Don't forget the junior. So before Matthew McConaughey joins us, let's do this real quick. This is just a little taste of what's about to come. We'll love when he comes on the show. This is when he appeared almost 4 years ago next month.
You told a story about the genesis of All Right.
Yes.
All Right.
Here's where that comes from. So, okay. Dazed and Confused.
Yes. Genius film.
I'm in the right bar at the right time. Mm-hmm. And a guy goes, "Hey, you ever done any acting? You might be right, just right for this part." Legendary casting director and producer Don Phillips. I come back. And they do what's called a makeup and wardrobe test, meaning they're shooting another scene one night. I'm just going to show up. Director's going to step off the set and come and look and go, "Great, I approve." Well, he comes and looks. He goes, "Geez, this is Wooderson. It's great." He goes, "Listen, you're not scheduled to work tonight, but we're over here at the Top Notch drive through, and you think Wooderson might want to pick up on the redheaded intellectual, Jake?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he goes, "Want to shoot it?" I'm like, "Sure." So I go get in the car. I'm about to shoot my first scene ever in a film.
Of your career?
Of my career. Mm-hmm. And I had been listening to a lot of 70s rock and roll at that time. And there was a certain live recording of a Jim Morrison concert in like Amsterdam or somewhere where he barks at the crowd, "All right, all right, all right, all right," 4 times real aggressively though. I'm not thinking about that, but this comes back. So I'm in the car and I'm like, "Who's my man?" I'm nervous. I'm about to hear after, "Who's my man? Who's Wooderson?" I said, "Well, I'm about my car." And I go, "Well, I'm in my 70 Chevelle. Yes. There's one. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm about getting high. I said, well, Slater's riding shotgun. You know, he's got a Dubois rolled up. There's two. I said, and I'm about rock and roll. I said, well, I got Nugent Stranglehold in the 8-track, man. There's three, and I hear action. And I look up, and in my mind, I go, and I'm about chicks. I got 3 out of 4. Let's go get the fourth. All right, all right, all right. Wow. That was it. First words I ever said on screen.
I love that.
That's awesome.
And he tells that story in his new book, Green Lights. Let's take a quick break. When we come back right here on Peacock and our radio network, the great Matthew McConaughey, the Academy Award winning actor and now author, coming up.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to GEICO during GEICOween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at GEICO.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy GEICOween, everybody.
Back here on the NBC Sports on Peacock stream, in just about 50 seconds time, our radio audience will return, and that's where we'll welcome in one of our favorite guests that we've been kind enough to have him agree to call in and also appear in person on this show, Matthew McConaughey, his new book, Green Lights. And I imagine, one of the most, remarkable achievements that I like to talk about for me is that I ever wrote a book. And for me, having a book on a shelf just is something, the proverbial, they can't take that away from you. And for me, it's truly, something I'm the proudest of, really.
Absolutely.
And, but I also don't have an Academy Award, though.
No.
You know what I mean?
Me either.
And I also don't have a professional football team that's got 2 wins this year. Oh. You know? It's coming off of the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't have any of that.
Good point.
And I'm not a minister of culture either, so I wonder where it all ranks. I really wonder where it all ranks. And we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show simulcast. Our radio audience has rejoined. I love having this guy on. I'm not just because I think he's on hold hearing this introduction. He's an Academy Award winner. Loved his work as well in some of the best TV I've ever seen in True Detective that earned him an Emmy nomination. He's now an author. I'm holding up his new book, Green Lights. He is Matthew McConaughey on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Rich. You know that Academy Award and the 2-win football team,
yes,
at MOC, you still got time.
You know what? I should take the page out of your book. You know, there are green lights in front of me, sir. It's all about approach, right? It's all about the approach
That's
of
it.
Life. I'm sorry I have not put into practice what you are preaching in the pages of your book, Matthew.
How you doing, good man?
I am doing very well. How are you doing?
Relatively real well. Yeah, we're doing pretty good, man.
I am glad to hear that. So, do you want to start with the football? I mean, your team just beat Dallas. I mean, that's the good stuff right there. I know that's the good stuff.
Right? Funny number 25-3. Come on. Right?
Yeah, I know.
The Washington football team. Huh? Ooh, what a division. Look at the stalwart numbers in that division right now, huh?
It's all about real estate, isn't it? It's all about real estate.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
But I imagine, again, that's the good stuff for somebody growing up in the state of Texas when Washington beats Dallas. That's exactly what you want. That's what you're looking for.
That's the stuff you sneak out of church early for. To listen to it on the AM radio so you can get home, and so you can get home and watch the rest of it. Yes, it is. Two times a year when we go there, those are two of my favorite weekends in the NFL schedule all year, when we play Dallas at our place and then we play them at their place.
Did you ever get to RFK? Did you ever go there?
Oh, yeah. I was at the last game at RFK. I have a mason jar full of burgundy soil that I ran out on the field and ripped it up out of the end zone.
No kidding.
That game. I was also at the first game at FedEx, which was the transition. I'm sorry, that Jack Kent Cook, which was the transition where they got to FedEx. And I was at the first game at FedEx as well.
No kidding. So you got on the field at the last game of RFK and you're like, you know what? I'm going to take this burgundy turf and I'm going to keep it. That's it.
Damn right. I knew right where I was going. Corner of the back left end zone. Absolutely.
And I've still got that mason jar.
I remember the one time I saw a game at RFK, I was sitting in the upper deck, and I had to get up and lean over the railing to see what was going on in the back of the end zone. I remember that. I'll never forget that.
I remember being there when you would just feel like the place was actually
shaking.
The whole stadium was on shocks.
Yes.
The place was moving.
It would bounce back in the day. I actually remember all that. Matthew McConaughey here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about your book, sir, called Green Lights. And, you know, I have read a handful of books written by people whose film work and television work and on-screen work I have enjoyed. And you're wondering, did they really write it? With you, Matthew, literally three sentences in, I'm like, okay, he wrote this. You know, it's your voice from cover to cover. No doubt about it.
No ghostwriter. This was just me. You know, I had a ghostwriter on about 3 years ago. I got the courage to say, hey, let's go grab my 36 years of diaries and journals and see if it's worth making into a book. But I didn't have the courage to do it on my own. So I got a ghostwriter. We met one time, and that was going well. And after that one-time meeting, his boss said you are no longer allowed to do for the company he worked with, the New York Times. You can't do any celebrity memoirs. So he was off the project. So I'm like, okay, I'll find another ghostwriter. And as soon as I said I'll find another ghostwriter out loud to my wife kind of nodded, leaned her head, looked at me like, really? And I went, I know what you're saying. You're right. I got to write this. It's me. So I took off and went to the desert. And 52 days later, I came out with what's basically in this book. And then for the last year and a half, been editing. And now I declare. And it's what you got in your hands.
No doubt about that. I was going to ask you about, you know, the process, because writing is, for me, easily the most difficult thing I have to do. But it's the most rewarding. There's no doubt about that. So you tapped out for 52 days and, like, sat by in front of a computer and banged this thing out, essentially?
Well, the first 12 days were in the desert, no electricity, just my journals. So it's just me and me, no electricity, no cell service, no email, no nothing. Because the idea was, okay, you're going to get bored, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to want to make a phone call, you're going to want to answer emails. No, I wanted no outside frequencies coming in. So I said, just be stuck with yourself in the last 36 years of your writing. And what I came out of that with was seven stacks. Of really the themes to the book. And it was stories, people, places, prescribes, poems, prayers, and a whole lot of bumper stickers. And then I came home with that. And then out of that, the next time I left, that I found the theme Green Lights, which runs through all of those things, which is basically, hey, I've looked at my life. I've made some decisions that have created green lights for me in the future. I've made some decisions that have created red and yellow lights for me in the future. Obviously, we like the green ones better. But I found a little bit of science to satisfaction in it, you know, habits that I had when I was catching green lights, when I was on my frequency, habits I had when I was catching yellow lights and red lights, and how to get back on the frequency of catching green lights.
And in terms of red and yellow lights, what were those that you encountered? I know it's in your book.
Well, look, a literal one. Here's one that everyone can understand. Death of my father. Big red light. No doubt about it. And I don't think anyone argue that when they lose someone like that in their life, it's a major red light. But what I found through the book was I wouldn't be the man I am today unless my father passed away. Meaning there were values that he pushed on me, all right, that he taught me. And yes, I understood them intellectually, but I was kind of half-assing them. Why? Because I knew he was alive. He had my back. If I fell down, he would pick me up. Well, as soon as he moved on, I quickly realized, oh, I don't have that safety net anymore. All the things you've been trying to be and that your dad's been teaching you to be, it's time to man up and put those damn things into action. So I became a young man. I grew up into a man much, much sooner, which was a good thing because of his passing. So that would be a green light asset from the big red light of his moving on.
Well, you also tell a story about, you know, you figuring out that you weren't cut out for being a lawyer or didn't want to do it as badly as you wanted to do, obviously, what you do for a living now. And your dad's response was, in fact, something you just said seconds ago, right? What did he say to you?
This was, I mean, everyone will have these moments, they can go back. And my dad couldn't have said three better words to me. I decided one day after my end of my sophomore year in college, I do not want to go to law school, which is the only thing I was ever expected to do or expected of myself. And I want to call my dad and who's paying for my school and tell them I want to go to film school. Well, I think this is not going to go well because I grew up in a blue-collar family. You work your way up. What the hell's film school, boy? That's a hobby, maybe, but that's not a real job, I thought he was going to say. So I call him one night and pick out the time, 7:36 p.m. He'll be home from work. He'll have had dinner. He's having a beer with mom. They're laughing. That'll be a great time to get him, right? Mm-hmm. I call him up. Pop, I don't want to go to law school. I want to go to film school. On the other end of the line, he goes, are you sure that's what you want to do? I said, yes, sir. There was a five-second pause, and then he said these three words, don't half-ass it. And he set me a launch with that. I mean, so not only did he give me approval and say it's okay, he gave me a kick in the backside and said, if you're going to do it, you better do it damn well. It was just what I needed to hear.
Well, and obviously you have not half-assed it, that's for sure. And some other stories, I mean, I've got Matthew McConaughey here. The author of Green Lights, which is available where all books are sold right now. Great stories, great insight, and you call it an approach book about approaching life. And you mentioned bumper stickers moments ago. You're not kidding. You've put actual bumper stickers that have come across your eye gate, to use a Michael Irvin phrase, throughout your life. I've got three of them right here. I'm going to read them off, and then each one, you just tell me what it means and why you put it in the book. Okay, here's the first one up. If you're high enough, the sun is always shining.
I love that one. So listen, so that one, everyone thinks that's about marijuana, right?
Yes!
It's actually just a scientific fact. If you're above the clouds, the sun's always shining.
Okay. That's it, huh?
That's all. Whatever. And I love the fact that everyone thinks that goes with, well, yeah, it's true, man. If you're high enough, the sun's always shining. So that's the whole play on the words. Is that that's what everybody thinks. But then I go, well, that's actually a scientific fact.
So it's based in fact and science that might actually be enhanced by the other. It's possible. What you're saying.
No, the two go part and parcel sometimes.
I bet so. I've got another bumper sticker here. It's not a risk unless you can lose the fight. What's with that one?
It's really, you know, we risk all the time, and there's things we don't want to do. We go, whew, that took some courage to get over that. And you go, yeah, but what would have been the consequences if I would have failed? Ah, I would have been okay. Well, that's not really a risk. So when we're measuring our risk, going, hey, what's a real risk, a true risk, is when you're going, if I fail, if I don't get what I want, if I lose, there are consequences. It's going to cost me. And I think that's it. That's really the question is asking, what are the decisions risk we take, win or lose, are going to have consequences. They are going to cost us. And the greatest risk I've taken in my life cost me, either by losing them or by winning them. So that's what that means. So check in and say, can you really lose the fight? Because that's a real risk.
So what's the riskiest move you've made career-wise, Matthew?
Probably when I coming off of 4 years of rom-coms and not getting any other dramatic work that I wanted, I took the risk of taking off work and taking a sabbatical from all work and everything Hollywood for 2 years. And I was not getting offered anything. I did not know if I would ever work in Hollywood again. And it was a time where, like I said, I was not getting the dramatic roles I wanted. So because I couldn't do what I wanted, I just quit doing what I was doing. And that was a risk because, hey, there's plenty of people that want to do what I do and do it very well, to step right in my shoes to do those movies I was doing. And they did. So after 2 years went by of no work whatsoever in Hollywood and me going, I'm going to hold out. I'm not going to pull the parachute. I'm not going back. I'm not going back until I get what I want. All of a sudden, Matthew McConaughey became a new good idea in Hollywood, and I started getting offered the roles like Lincoln Lawyer, Killer Joe, Magic Mike. We got Mud, True Detective, Dallas Buyers Club, and went on that run.
So then what's the riskiest role out of all those then that you took?
The riskiest of those?
Yes.
I'll bring this up, and I don't know if it was risky for this matter. True Detective, you got to remember back, when True Detective came out, we made that. There were not a lot of Hollywood film actors that have careers like Woody Harrelson and I do that were jumping into and doing the limited television series. So I remember the script was so good, the characters were so good, but there were real questions around me by my agent and stuff. I'm like, wait a minute, this is on the small screen. This is TV. You sure you want to do this? And the script was so good, like I said, that I said, I don't give a damn what screen it's on. The story's so good. The characters are hot. I'm going in. I don't care what it's on. Well, after that worked, if you look back, after True Detective, that really helped open the floodgates of TV and limited series becoming the new, sort of, arguably the best drama out there, the best format and platform for drama.
No, there's no doubt about that. And I've asked you this before. I'll ask it again. Is there any shot of you and maybe Woody getting back together and doing another season of True Detective? Any chance, you think, on this green earth, something like that happens?
I doubt it. You know, I still work with Nick Pizzolatto, the creator of True Detective, and we're working on something that's completely original and independent of True Detective. But I must say, I'm, you know, in the way you say that, I'm guessing you miss it. I miss it, too. That was my favorite show on TV. I watched it every Sunday night like everyone else. I miss that show. I love that series.
Well, I miss virtually every soliloquy that came out of your mouth, Matthew. I'll be honest with you.
Justin Cole. The greatest detective in the world.
And also who could make anything out of a tin can as well.
He could make anything out of a tin can. Did I tell you the story of those interrogation scenes?
Go for it.
So you know when Rustin Cole's getting interrogated, right? I mean, it's intercut through the series, but we sat down and shot those in one sitting, and it was 28 pages. We were scheduled, I believe, to shoot those for like over 4 days. 16 hours. Done. Nailed it. Get out of here. Turn the page. What's next? We nailed every single one. We were there, had been there for like 14 hours, and everybody was tired. And I had been working on those 28 pages for months leading up to that moment. Well, we shot the other side, the two interrogators, first for the first few hours, and then turned the camera on Rustin Cole's side. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and hammered out 28 pages of that dialogue in one sitting.
Oh.
And it was awesome. Because after 12 hours, we were all just wiped. And everyone looked up and goes, okay, man, we're tired. We want to come back tomorrow. And I was like, not a chance. In the zone, press record. We're finishing this, baby. And we did. We finished it in one sitting.
I guess that's a green light, right? Is that a green light?
I tell you what, I slept well that night.
I bet you did. Oh, man. I got one last bumper sticker. Common sense is like money and health. Once you have it, you have to work to keep it. What's that one?
Ain't that true? Isn't that true? You know what I mean? Common sense, we have it. And, you know, I've been able to run into quite a lot of people, and I have in my life. One of my mentors are the people with the most common sense, like my oldest brother or John Chaney, some elders that I really look up to. And it's true, you know, the more you know, you get in life, you go get more educated, things get more complicated, you got more options, you try to say, oh, that's reasonable, oh, this is reasonable. All of a sudden, you can look up and go, man, I've lost my common sense. We can explain our way out of anything, but, you know, the fanciest words don't make up for a good dose of common sense sometimes. So you got to work to keep it, especially when you become successful. When you become successful, you got to watch out that you don't get insulated from the realities of the world and how humanity works, and have your feet on the ground. Because people with great common sense have their feet on the ground, and no matter what the situation. And people with great common sense can sum up the situation so quickly. You know what I mean? I love to use words. I'll explain it, give you a beautiful soliloquy, and then I can talk to a buddy of mine and I'll go, oh, well, you know, if you know, there's a great story in the book about my brother calling the 1-800 number to get his business messages. And he calls in to get his messages, and the lady goes, that account has been down for 2 years. And he goes crazy. Oh, my God, 2 years. You know how much many millions of dollars I've lost from you not taking my business calls? And he's yelling. And all of a sudden, my brother, Rooster, who's full of common sense, tells my brother Pat. Now, my brother Pat, now who's yelling about not having an answer service at work, says, I'm suing you for $10 million for all the calls you've missed for 2 years. And then my brother Rooster sits in and goes, well, what do you think the judge is going to say when he finds out you hadn't even called in 2 years?
That's common sense.
That's common sense.
Yes, it is. Oh, my gosh. And then there's so many other great stories that I don't know if this is common sense as well. You laying a bunch of money on the Bills in Super Bowl 28 against the Cowboys. I don't know if that's much common sense. You might have been Might have been too close. I was about to say, you might have been too close where the sun is always shining. I'm not sure, Matthew. If that was...
yeah. Or not close enough.
Congrats on the book. Congrats on the book, man. It truly is you through and through. And we've literally touched on an infinitesimal amount of the stories that you tell straight from your voice. And you also voice the audiobook version as well. Yeah. Green Lights, where all books are sold. Matthew, I always enjoy our chats. Thanks for calling in.
I do too, Rich. Keep it up. Speak next time, sir.
Right back at you. That's Matthew McConaughey right here on The Rich Eisen Show. 16 straight hours. I haven't watched that. I want to watch that again. The only problem is it's tough to sleep after that, man.
Yeah.
The old True Detective. Intense. Season one of True Detective. I would be all in on that. It truly is some of the greatest television that's ever been made. Season one of True Detective. And his scenes are hypnotic. And Woody Harrelson as well. Oh, my gosh. And some great stories in here. So everybody should check out this book, Green Lights. We'll take a break. Chris Brockman's news update has some great news out of Washington, D.C. And the head coach there. I think you can pick up what I'm putting down.
Absolutely.
That's coming up next.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Taking you right up to Brother from Another and then PFTPM to wrap up a day that begins every day with Pro Football Talk Live, and then our buddies at the Dan Patrick Show leads into us. That's the way we roll on NBC Sports on Peacock, streaming now and every single day. Very excited to be here. Very, very excited. Love running into people saying that they get us, they see us. My mom's able to talk into her Roku. I want the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock.
Oh, same. So my mom watches on the app.
Does she really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
On her iPad.
That's great. My mom watches on her TV. I mean, what are you saying?
I was just pointing out my mom also watches.
Or, I mean, are we going into something about our each mothers right now, or what? Am I being too sensitive?
You're being pretty aggressive.
What just happened?
It's my green light.
Who watches better?
That's my Staten Island to me coming out. Yeah. You talking about my mother?
Relax.
Say hi to your mother for me.
Say hi to your mother for me.
We're back here on our show. That was fun with Matthew McConaughey. Oh,
he's the greatest.
He is great. It's so easy to talk to him.
You know, Rich, I put something on Twitter real quick.
Yes, sir.
From the last time he was in studio.
Yes, sir.
He kind of told me how he came up with the character of Wooderson. So that's on Twitter right now. It's just a one-minute video.
Fantastic. Put it right there, at Rich Eisen Show, and the it being your eyeballs. And so many stories. I mean, the number of stories that are in this book. 52 days. I would not know how to spend 12 days without electricity and just by myself and my thoughts.
How many could you make it? You're not going to make it 12.
I couldn't even make 12 minutes. Are you kidding me?
You guys go crazy when the Wi-Fi goes down for 3 seconds. Yeah. You're like, oh, my God, when Wi-Fi's down.
I don't know anyone for a show.
I'm preparing for a show.
Rich, I don't know anyone who talks on the phone more than you.
Ooh. I'm trying to do things here.
I understand you're a busy man. You got a lot of people to talk to, but... You talk on the phone a lot.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm just saying you talk on the phone a lot. I'm telling you, you take a lot of phone calls each day.
Right, but now, this is important. Am I just like, hey, how you been? What's going on? Like, you must hear what I'm talking about since I'm in front of you.
Well, yeah, I know, obviously.
I know the amount of pacing I do when I talk.
Oh, you're the
pacing.
But now the volume of calls?
No. It's just an observation. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying you take a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, but
the day.
But you you can't sit, make it seem like I'm just chit-chatting and just...
Well, no, you're not just, like, catching up with your high school buddies. Like, yeah, no, I know, you're doing a lot of business, but, man, I don't ever talk on the phone.
Do you want to do battle on how many emails I've got unread on my phone right now?
How many you got?
How many you got?
I bet I got you beat.
I don't know.
I'm at 22,000.
Oh, you got me beat.
22,000 unread emails.
So basically, if I send you an email, there's no shot that you see it.
None.
No, I get it.
You just went higher register.
No, I get it.
No, I get it. No.
You get it, but you don't.
This is my personal email account that has 22,000.
Oh, yeah. The business is your old business.
Business email.
I forget it. You're all buttoned up, literally up to the top of your neck. You're buttoned up.
Business email, I got 8,000 unread.
How the hell did we get on this conversation?
What is going on?
I mean, that's the great part about this show, Rich. You just get places.
Yes, indeed.
Tangents.
Before we get to your news update, I want to give a shout out to one of the best in our business in terms of being a human. A 2-time coach of the year also shows you how good at his profession that he is. Friend of the program, I would like to say. Head coach of the Washington football team, Ron Rivera. Within 24 hours of putting the beat down on the arrivals from Dallas, he completed his final chemotherapy treatment for the cancer that he was diagnosed with in August. And he tweeted out a video of him leaving, and this is all great. Walking down the hallway of the people who have been giving him his care, celebrating him, finishing up his treatment. They're all wearing Rivera Strong t-shirts. As the Washington football team tweeted out this video of the coach walking down the hallway, it's a different kind of Victory Monday. I'm getting choked up, man. I am getting choked up.
Of course, this is a small token of recognition, of courage and perseverance from our team here. We're going to keep this back, have everyone sign it and frame it for you.
Please do. That's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Mm, such a good human. Then ringing the bell as he leaves. He's finished up with his chemo, and we cannot wait to have him completely cancer-free. And his tweet that he sent out, how it started and how it's going, on the left is how it started, where he's slumped in his chair. I'm assuming receiving his first chemo treatment on the left, and on the right, there he is, standing upright, ringing the bell as he's leaving the Institute. You go, Coach Rivera, you go. Send it over to you, Chris Brockman, for your news update on this otherwise busy Monday. You're on the show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
What do you have over there, Christopher?
Yeah, just updating some of the injuries from yesterday in the National Football League. We all know Odell Beckham towards ACL, so he's expected to miss the rest of this season. Bummer news for him. Last night, Sunday Night Football, Chris Carson left the game in the first half with a foot injury. The Seattle Times reporting that it's their understanding that it's not considered significant. Pete Carroll said still waiting on the MRI results to see how much time he could miss. Could be as little as 1 week, could be as many as 5 weeks. So keep an eye on that. Kenyon Drake injured his ankle yesterday. X-rays were negative, but an MRI, just in case, is coming later today. Deebo Samuel, no update on him. Left the game with a hamstring injury. He's been battling injuries all season.
He sure has. And he was just looking really stout,
turn
man.
The corner,
literally turning the corner and hitting people. Just the number of times where he comes around the corner and then the pad snapping. He's just so big and
violent.
They were using him as a running back more than a receiver yesterday.
Yeah, and speaking of Jeff Wilson, their running back, was having a great game yesterday.
Yes.
Hurt his ankle on that touchdown run, and he did not return. So he's waiting to see how serious that is. Tim Patrick for the Broncos, day-to-day with the hamstring. Philip Lindsay is in concussion protocol, as is Andy Dalton, obviously. And Deontay Johnson banged up his leg again for the Steelers after having a pretty good game. Christian McCaffrey, I know all fantasy owners waiting to see when he is going to be back. For the Panthers, considered a long shot to play in Week 8. So you're going to have to wait another week, I think, for Christian McCaffrey. Good news for Mike Davis owners.
So for Mike Davis fantasy football owners.
You're going to get one more week of Mike Davis, at least.
Kramer is grabbing the hands of the
pushing the car,
car
the Saab towards
salesman,
the past
and
E.
They are still gas in the car for Mike Davis.
Still, it was supposed to be just 3 weeks.
That
for
was
Mike
supposed
Davis.
To be it. Honestly, the only thing remotely close to Mike Davis's fantasy value continuing and continuing and continuing is the story of Hanukkah. Where the oil burned for 8 days. The oil is like burning for almost 6 fantasy weeks at this point. He is close to the fantasy Hanukkah story. Mike Davis.
Behind.
Who knew?
Seriously, he's like the Maccabee of fantasy football runners.
I don't know what that means.
You lost me there.
That's okay. Look it up. By the way, all the members of the tribe know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the story of Hanukkah. 8 days, the oil burned.
Well, I know that part.
Yeah.
Mike Davis needs 2 nice. More weeks, and he's matching the story of Hanukkah.
ESPN reporting, speaking of fantasy disappointments this year, Evan Engram of the Giants. ESPN saying the teams have reached out about his availability via trade.
Maybe
Joe Judge said he's in the long-term plan, but if somebody offers you a third-round pick, I think you're taking that.
I don't know, man.
Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach Nick Chubb, could return after the Week 9 bye, dealing with that knee injury.
Okay.
Cam Newton on WEEI today said that he admitted if he keeps playing poorly, his job could be in jeopardy as the team's starting quarterback, although Bill Belichick said today, Cam, absolutely.
Of course he's a starter.
The team starter.
Of course he is. What are they going to, unless?
I would still trade Cam for a fifth round pick.
Unless you go, like, what, 2-6? Do you go, New England's 2-4 right now.
And the schedule's not great.
Buffalo at Jets, home for Baltimore. But the problem is that after Buffalo and before at Jets is the trade deadline. If you're going to sell,
right. That's
when you sell. And if you're Dallas and you are staring at the way Dalton has played for the last 2 weeks, do you call up Belichick and say, what do you think? And then Bill's like, okay, I'm not, there's no hot seats around here. I'll just go throughout the rest of the season. I think we're starting something that has no chance of actually happening, but we could keep talking about it.
That's what we do.
I saw some of it yesterday. I mean, a couple of the guys that cover the Pats threw it out there that Dallas could be a destination.
All right.
For
very good.
There we go.
You have nothing
that's
else?
That's the news. There
it goes. That's the news.
How much going on?
Chad in Cincinnati. Let's sneak in his phone call before we wrap up. I got about a minute for you, Chad, but I wanted to get you on here. I know you've been on hold for a while. What's up, sir?
Yeah, no problem, Rich. Hey, last night that game was awesome, but as a fan, you can just imagine the emotional roller coaster from the RoboCop chasing down Buda Baker to the missed field goal. But I got to thinking, Rich, and I wanted to ask you this because I watched that Jets game yesterday. If you had your choice right now, what would you take? A Jets Super Bowl, a Michigan National Championship, or the Knicks winning the NBA Finals? What would make you the happiest?
Wow.
We're out of time, Chad. Thank you for joining us today. Wow, what a way to go out, man. The Knicks are gone, so it's really either a toss-up between the Jets and the Wolverines.
Michigan would make you happy.
Yeah, I think Michigan would make me absolutely happiest. Yeah. Do we beat Ohio? We have to beat Ohio State on the way to it, right?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
So then we settle all family business?
Yeah.
That's the answer, Chad. Does that make you happy?
Okay.
Thanks for putting me on the spot, though. Oh, I'll take absolutely. Where's the dotted line for that? Can I sign for that right now?
Like the Corleone baptism?
By the way, calling DK Metcalf RoboCop is not a bad choice.
Good,
I mean, that did look like something out of a science fiction movie chasing him down like that.
Like the Terminator.
T2.
T2, yeah.
The Robert Patrick. By the way, Jinx. fellow Michigan man, Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick.
Okay.
Shout out to Bobby.
Cannot wait to see next week Michigan versus Michigan State with future number one overall draft choice, Joe Milton. Oh, I got to pump the brakes. I'm sorry.
I called him Cam Light.
Are we still on?
I called him Cam Light. He looks like him.
All right, for everybody on Peacock, stay tuned. We're going to take you to brother from another. But for all of us on the radio side, thank you for joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll chat with you after this Monday night or tonight from LA.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey, because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.